And I'm reading from the lesson this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Heavenly Father, we come giving thanks and praise to you for the lessons of your word spoken by Jesus himself in this instance that still reach into our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn and grow as you make your presence known. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Excuses, excuses. Now, sometimes we do have to excuse ourselves from events and opportunities. I was asked just this past week by another Sunday school teacher if Lois and I would like to attend their Sunday school event, fellowship that they're planning next month, and I had to excuse myself. We're going to be gone out to our grandchildren's and their parents over that time. So sorry, we can't make it. But then there are excuses that, have you ever heard any excuses from, say, somebody that you invite to church? And if you haven't heard somebody from somebody who you've invited, you've heard excuses about why people don't attend church. And because of that, I've seen several over my years of ministry sort of these announcements about No Excuse Sundays. One church printed this announcement in its bulletin: "To make it possible for everyone to attend church next Sunday, we're going to have a special No Excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say Sunday's my only day to sleep in. Murine will be available for those with tired eyes from watching television too late on Saturday. We will have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be provided for those who think the church is too cold, and fans for those who think the church is too hot. We will have hearing aids for those who say the pastor speaks too softly, and cotton for those who say he preaches too loudly. Some scorecards will be available for those who wish to list the hypocrites present. Some relatives will be in attendance for those who like to visit on Sunday, family on Sunday. There will be 100 TV dinners for those who cannot go to church and cook dinner also. And one section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to seek God in nature. And finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never been to church without those." As you can tell, it's not only our culture that has plenty of excuses ready to give in order to avoid that which is vital. Jesus confronted the very same thing in his day. And he also taught a parable, a descriptive story, about the consequences of and the remedy for the situation. Jesus told this story in a most appropriate setting. He was a dinner guest at a banquet that was being hosted by a prominent Pharisee. Both the banquet at which Jesus was present and the banquet that was the topic or subject of his parable were big deals. At their best, banquets were opportunities for the host to celebrate with his neighbors and for his neighbors to honor the host. Banquets were very special cultural events with proper protocols and etiquette to be followed. And as is common with ordinary human nature, the positive features of these banquets could also be distorted into opportunities for some prominent and successful community leaders to arrogantly display their positions in life. This event and other banquet events described in the Gospels indicate that those distortions were not all that unusual. They did, in fact, happen frequently. So Jesus took this and other opportunities to provide object lessons about the kingdom of God to those who would listen. At this banquet, Jesus laid the foundation for his story by telling those present that they should be humble toward one another. In fact, prior to his telling of this parable, there had been an episode at this very banquet that he was attending about healing someone on the Sabbath. And of course, that was the buzz around the banquet table. And Jesus responded to it. And then, in the verses just prior to the section I read, then Jesus said to his host, verses 12 through 14, Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Jesus gives his host, the other guests, and us a description of the nature of the kingdom of God. It is not up to the Pharisees to exalt themselves, it was up to God. Likewise, it is not up to us to exalt ourselves, that is up to God. Jesus warns his hosts of the precarious nature of their situation, indeed, their very attitude. In his story, guests are invited to a great banquet. But then they begin offering excuses in order to decline the invitation. In so doing, they exalted themselves above the host who invited them. It was the practice then that when a man prepared a banquet, the day for it was announced well beforehand in order to give those invited plenty of time to prepare. The invitations were sent out. They were RSVP style, and they were accepted. But the hour of the banquet was not usually announced. When the day came and everything was made ready, servants were sent out to summon the invited guests. To excuse to attend when the day came was a grave and serious insult to the host. It violated the protocol and the conventions of hospitality. Yet this is exactly what those who were rejecting the authority of Jesus were doing, which is the point of the parable. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God. About those who had the invitations and were now offering their excuses not to attend. Having been given the invitation to be God's people, they were now making excuses about why they could not attend the banquet, the kingdom, prepared by God. But they all alike began to make excuse. Now, the word excuse or excuse comes from exousia, meaning free from the charge. That is, we know that we are chargeable with some failure, with some offense, so we present fictitious evidence by which we hope to win acquittal. Psychology calls it rationalization. We rationalize all this out. Each of us is prone to set a screen of falsehoods between ourselves and the reality of the situation. Life in Christ is a process of removing the screen so that God's light shall, that in God's light we shall see light. From the Psalms, in God's light shall we see light. The excuses in Jesus' parable sound reasonable in themselves. The world needs farms and oxen and families. But all of these, without the honor that comes from God and the honor that needs to be given to God, are wells without water. And those listening to Jesus knew this. This was not going over their heads. They knew this very well, so they knew that the excuses Jesus used in his illustration were only hollow excuses, plausible lies, if you will. Each had an element of credibility, but they were still falsehoods. They were plainly foolish in the light of the gracious invitation. Jesus told the story for that very purpose, to cast light upon the foolish and dangerous deceptions of any and every refusal to accept God's grace. Are these excuses any different or any more foolish than our own? What is meant by some of the excuses that we hear? Or hopefully not, perhaps make. You know, some that circulate, I got too much religion when I was younger. You know, perhaps referring to those who were, you know, parents took them to church all the time even though they wanted to do something else. Or I want to run away from the religion that I was given and didn't care for. Or it could have been even that exposure to a false religion. But at any rate, the cure for poor religion is not no religion. The cure is true faith and a growing relationship with God in Christ. I'm too tired when Sunday comes, meaning too tired from the lack of letting God strengthen my life. Everyone gets tired when he or she tries to live only by his or her own strength. Another similar excuse, I must be fresh on Monday to help my family. No one is fresh or a help to the family when he or she lives a life without God. My personal favorite, I don't attend church because it's full of hypocrites. And to this excuse I say, since a hypocrite must be somewhere, why not in church? Where at least the Word of God can reach their lives. Besides, can we go anywhere in this world if we want to avoid hypocrites? You know, think of businesses. We go to businesses. We go to stores all the time. Do you not go because it's full of hypocrites? I mean, surely there's partners or coworkers or customers there who are hypocrites. Hypocrites attend movies and concerts and sporting events. Ever heard of anyone declining to go because they're full of hypocrites? Besides, are we not all hypocrites? People of strangely mixed motives. Does anyone have the right to make such a charge as if he or she is above all of that? We know when it's all said and done that such an excuse is not the real reason a person does not go to church. It's not the real reason a person does not pursue God. Like the excuses given by each of the three invited to the banquet in Jesus' parable, the excuses of our day do not hold any water at all. It's an empty bucket, empty well. God prepares for us a place. Yet we try to avoid it. I'm too busy to come to your meal, God. I've got too many things to do. Why will we not see that his banquet is more joyous than the shadows of our worldly preoccupations? You know, I think that it is in large part due to our tendency to exalt ourselves in moments of success. When we are successful, God's banquet appears less appetizing. A sad truth you could trace all the way back to the very foundation of the establishment of God's people in the promised land. After all, when you're full and nourished, we can afford to be more selective about what we eat. The three excuses in this parable give a picture of a successful secular society. The farm symbolizes possessions and investments. The oxen and plow offer an image of our technological means of livelihood. The marriage represents at best our human-centered comfort, or at worst our cult of sex and success. Add to that our cultural drift to remove any concept of reverence to God so that everything boils down to our own pride of accomplishment, and we have a fairly complete list of excuses. You can categorize most excuses in those. And sadly, nothing fails like success, as generations discover over and over again. Each of the three in this parable miss not a banquet, but the banquet, because of their success and in turn their failure to deal with their success. Without a recognition of their dependence upon God instead of themselves, they will soon starve to death. In many European wars, church bells were melted down into weapons of death because the world failed to heed them when they were ringing their calls to worship. So these three, who are mere representatives of every culture in every age, turn down the divine invitation to the Lord's banquet. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." The point of Jesus' message to those at the banquet with him that day was evident. Do not think that you are too good for God. Even with your fields, oxen, and families, do not think that God has to wait for you. Do not think for one moment that God depends on you. He will not hesitate one moment to fill his tables with the very ones you try to cast aside and ignore. He will fill his tables with those you have been equipped to help but have forgotten about in your moments of success. And such a lesson was an offense to the well-mannered and educated Pharisee and Sadducee, teacher of the law and scribe, all those who over the course of his teaching ministry on earth confronted and challenged him. Imagine the group that was standing around Jesus the day he said to them, as recorded in Matthew 21, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." They were outraged. This idea of exalting ourselves more highly than we should goes on all the time. It goes on whenever we overvalue our own success or status and throw away the invitation. How many times can we flip back the pages of history and find individuals and families who were set for life, who had nothing to worry about in this world, only to find their lives ravaged by economic disaster or revolution or war? I've seen in many a pictorial history book, the Time Life series, for example, but unfortunately still on our own screens still today, the haunting pictures of refugees fleeing war's devastating path with only a few possessions they're able to haul out with them. And these streams of refugees, including well-off people who left fine houses and furnishings, neatly manicured lawns, money in the bank in order to escape with their lives. I wonder how many prominent citizens there have been who sneered at those who were worse off than them, only to find themselves one day at the mercy of someone else's garbage. Jesus got right to the point as usual. Don't you dare think that you can make God into your own image. With all of your wealth and possessions, don't think you've got God in your box. With all of your knowledge of Scripture and your tradition, don't think you've got God in your box. It won't work that way. It won't work that way at all, because God cannot be mocked. I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Very tough words indeed. But not because they were not invited. They were invited. However, they wadded up their engraved invitations and threw them away. They threw them away by wrapping themselves up in their petty self-pride and their arrogance. Because the Word of God is everlasting, this parable is for our world today. The invitation continues to be extended, and it continues to be tossed aside. We are human. We continue to make our excuses. But they are not valid when Christ calls. Everything else pales in the light of His offer. Christian lyricist and composer Philip Bliss wrote these well-known words, sadly detailing those who turned down God's invitation. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, "Go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call." Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. The good news is that many people have accepted the invitation, but many more, sadly, have not. Don't throw the invitation away. Dig it out of the trash. Find it buried in your pile of paperwork. Don't pass up God's banquet, the banquet of life. God's message to us is about life, not death. He prepares a banquet meal to feed and to nourish us, even in the table, even a table in the presence of our enemies. He will not let anyone spiritually starve who comes to His table to eat. He turns no man, no woman, no child away. If you've not accepted this invitation before, accept it now. And I especially emphasize it today. If the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is convicting you, and maybe you've felt it before, maybe you've heard it before and said, no, not yet, or I can't right now, consider this, because this is reality. This is as real about our lives as it can get. Lois and I driving down yesterday afternoon from La Porte to Rochester on 31, as usual, heading south. Saw lights flashing in the back, pulled over, ambulance rushes by. We drive on down, come up over a hill, look down, and there are a big group of emergency vehicles. This one area, one of the crossroads. You can tell that's bad. We all get in the single lane, and we're slowly making our way by, and we glance over as I glance over less than Lois, maybe because I'm driving. We see four ambulances there, four ambulances as well as all the other vehicles, emergency vehicles, and the mingled mess and the median there. My immediate thought was that, both of us, this is bad, but, you know, just imagine in a blink, in a moment, the lives that were changed. And as we learned later in the evening, looking at WSBT news, one fatality. We don't know what the future holds, hardly a few minutes in front of our lives. Almost is but to fail, almost but lost. And yet God has his invitation extended today. Just as Jesus said in this story, that this parable that he gave to those at the banquet table there with him, just as he gives to those who read the scriptures themselves today, this very morning, or hear them read, say yes to this invitation today. Don't miss the meal. There is still room. God is still filling his house and still putting food on his table. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. Why would anyone choose to make an excuse that leads him or her away from life? Now, the banquet is prepared. Let's enter in. And again, if you may need to make that commitment of faith, that step of faith, those here can come forward during the singing of Almost Persuaded, which we'll be singing in just a moment. Those online also can just bow and say a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need your mercy in my life. And then connect. Connect with this church or friends, relatives who walk with God to grow in the Spirit of the Lord.